Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, you guys. I am going to Seattle to film a movie, and I just found out that I'm shooting next Tuesday and Wednesday, so we won't be able to record until Thursday, so the podcast will be up on Friday. I just wanted to let you know that. I cannot wait to watch Paradise. I cannot wait to discuss it with all of my friends and share it with you guys, but just so you know, so you're not refreshing your feed and wondering where it is. It will not be up till Friday. Okay, bye.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight.
Okay.
So good. I just got one little
question. Okay.
Will you accept this rose?
You know what? I will accept it because we've been through such a fucking journey this last 16 months. And we're
17.
17 months. We're not the same people we were.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alex. By Mark Rivers. Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Will You Accept This Rose? My name is Arda Marie, coming to you from my bougie garage in Los Angeles, California. Did you think that we were going to end the season without the fucking dream team? Excuse me. Did you think that these are not the people that I need to hear their thoughts from? Think again. If I was not flying to Seattle tomorrow and having to pay my mortgage and having to not shut down a set by having the Delta variant, we would be in my garage and I would be eating an edible, ill-advised. I should never eat an edible, but I had agreed to it. That will have to be dangling for me when I get back. We'll have to celebrate some kind of a paradise thing with that. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know where to start. I'm going to start by a man that I'm so happy for right now. He's on every ad that I see. He's on every billboard that I see. This is my friend who makes me laugh so hard, who just stumbled into my holiday party and got sucked in and has now made all these new friends.
I didn't know who lived there.
And he thought it was somebody else's party.
I just walked in.
He's just now killing it on iCarly, which just got picked up for a second season with our other Will You Accept This Rose podcast, one of our guests, Lacey Mosley. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sentinel, Jerry Traynor.
Wow,
lovely to be here. Thank you. What's it like talking to someone that's on so many billboards?
You know what? I feel so nervous.
Are you nervous? You're nervous?
So nervous. I don't know how to relate. I put on my fancy lady Amazon, I wore like a yacht rock, like a below deck shirt for you. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that was for me.
It was for you. I saw that you were wearing your Rookie of the Year shirt, which you guys can order. How nice is the merch?
It's just so comfortable. I love this shirt.
I got to tell you, I wear mine all the time. I got sort of a boxy one that has like a flash dance shoulder. Mine's kind of sexy.
All right. Well, nothing you wear isn't. So worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Thank you, Jerry. Well, I'm available now. Excuse me. I'm available for the first time in my adult life.
Can I steal you for a second? Can we go into a breakout room? Can I steal you for a second?
Sure. Yes. I've never been on the market as an adult. Yeah, you can steal me for a second. All right. Also with us is a man who's been growing his facial hair in a manner that is fascinating. It's a man who's literally pulled out a bong that looked like a huge dick, and it was thrilling. He's like a time traveler. He's in charge. He's got his captain's hat on. He's got sexy muttons happening. He's been back to the resort in Palm Springs that everything goes down at. He is so deep in. He's been texting us everything. Ladies and gentlemen, rookie of the year, the captain, Doug Benson. Doug, you look great.
Doug, are you smoking the substance that the mosquito was caught in Jurassic Park?
Yep. It's just
amber.
It's just basically amber. It's really sticky, gooey stuff that you have to put on the end of this is a paper clip.
Love it.
Then you drop it into the device. This one's called Switch by Dr. Dabber. All the heating and stuff in here, it's very safe. It's safe dabbing because you've seen a lot of people when they dab, they have an actual torch that they use on the bowl. Ooh. And then it starts to feel like crack or heroin or something.
Right.
And that's not my jam.
No.
I just like a nice little dab of some THC concentrate.
Will you let us know when you're just for the listeners? Will you let the listeners know? Give us an audio cue when you're about to partake in the excitement.
I think you'll hear the bubbling sound.
Great.
I love that thing looks straight out of the future, but then you have to use a paper clip.
The paper clip is how you do it.
Well, because you can get this stuff in a more of a crumbly, less sticky form, but that's what this particular concentrate is. It's just very sticky.
I think you need like a William Sonoma paperclip.
Speaking of somebody who's from the future, this is a woman who I fucking love. I'm going to say who killed it at my dinner party. I'm just going to go throw out there and just say it. Who's just a blast, whose face is so symmetrical that Erin Foley couldn't even be here today because she couldn't handle it. She actually has a pitch, so we hope she sells her show. But this is a woman, look, you know her from Criminal Minds. You know her from another period. You know her from DuckTales. You know her from narrating the documentary that Doug just watched about a ride. I'm not sure which one it is, but she's going to tell it is. Ladies and gentlemen, my best friend, Secretary of State, Padgett Brewster.
Woo-hoo. It's me.
What is the documentary that you just narrated?
It's a 10-part series called Behind the Attraction that's on Disney Plus. It's about the fabrication of all of the Disney worlds and Disneylands. Ooh. And the rocks.
What was the most interesting thing you learned?
It sounds awesome.
That's an interesting fact. What was your top fact?
Well, I can't say it in front of an audience. I'll tell you later. There's some interesting stuff. There's some dark tales behind the creation of it's mostly how interesting all of the Imagineers are, and they're all characters, and they all going all the way back to the 50s, these people that how they came up with ideas and gags and rides and tricks, and it's all really interesting. They stole trees. When the LA freeway system was being built, there were teams of people who would go out and steal the trees that were being ripped down to put into Disneyland because it was in the desert. They built it in the desert.
I thought Jerry Traynor would have been good at stealing trees.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. How do you think I landscaped this house?
Those are big trees, too.
I wondered where my
These things didn't went. Imagineer themselves, okay, guys?
My friend Robert he helped build California Adventure. That's what he does for a living. What a specific cool job. Also a man who has fantastic facial hair right now. I mean, I got to tell you, this guy was supposed to be my date next week to a Bachelor in Paradise rum party. They were definitely going to give us COVID for sure. But yeah, yeah. By the way, worth it. So yeah. Worth it.
Yeah.
Is he ever going to find love? You know him from Supernatural, but really, you know him as Bachelor of the Year 2016, Bachelor of the Year 2017, Bachelor of the Year 18, 19, 20, 21. Is he going to find love? I don't know if he's going to find love, but he is finding a really great beard situation, really tight facial hair for the gents of Will You Accept This Rose. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Benedict.
Benedict.
Wow.
Hi, guys.
Talk to us about your beard. It looks great.
Well, you know, I've been trying to follow Doug Benson. I'm just trying to follow his lead. So now I'm thinking I've got to shave the middle part.
Yes. To the mutton chops. Yeah. Do it for the Wolverine mutton chops.
That'd be hot. If all of our guys had muttons right after Labor Day for a Paradise episode.
Ooh, Trainer, can you do that?
Can you do that, Trainer? No.
Do what? Do what?
Nickelodeon. Can you have mutton chops?
I was adjusting my audio.
Are you
How does this sound?
Can you grow a mutton for all the men of Will You Accept This Rose to have muttons for right after Labor Day? No, Doug is saying no. Why?
No way.
Why?
It's not his character to have mutton chops.
How would you groom? I know that you're the facial stylist. You're the facial hairstylist for all the men on the pod. What do you need? Like a little thin pencil mustache?
Oh, if he's if he becomes a villain.
Yeah. Or what like, a snidely whiplash.
Given enough time, I can do like the Irish kind of pointy ended mustache, but probably not in time. How many weeks is that?
I don't know, like 3 weeks, Daniel Day Trainer.
I can't because of work, because of there's a gig coming up that I have to be clean shaven for, as far as I know.
You. We're all going to be, will you Venmo me $17,000?
Yes.
Great. You guys, overall, before we get into it, how did you feel about the season?
Oh, man.
They found love. It really filled a hole in my heart that those two found each other. it was really special that he called up the show and said, "Hey, I can fall in love a third time, no problem. you need some giant jawed a-hole to come through and take over the whole thing. I'll just unhook his jaw and just swallow everybody."
Like a pelican. The pelican jaw. All right. So tepid reaction. How are you guys feeling about Katie overall? Pageant.
I think I'm a little confused about everything that went down. Okay. I'm confused.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know. I think we'll discuss it as it comes, but I do think Blake won her over solely by so articulately and eloquently talking about what may or may not be his feelings for her. Mm-hmm. And she, that's all she needed to hear. She needed to hear it.
I also think the moment he got her was when the Bachelor's producers captured her and were like, "You're not contractually, you're not leaving."
Right.
And I think she was really done. I think Greg was the guy. And I think she also did like Michael, who left. So I think she was feeling like shit.
Yeah.
I think his dealing with Greg, who'd been like such a wuss, you know, and like sniveling off into the Panera patio, like leaving, you know, like back to his William Esper acting class. I felt like when Blake was maybe because he's thirsty and he wanted to be on TV, but the fact that he just was like, "How are you doing? Are you like that?" He was presenting.
That was his move.
Man
the
enough
whole
to
time.
Take it. But I gotta say, everybody else was getting so thrown by the competition. Like that he was sort of like, "I accept that there's other dudes here. I accept that you wanted to leave." That he just sort of, whether it was real or not.
He wants to be on television.
Yeah.
He wants to be on this show. That's
when you've done it three times, you're gonna be smooth as silk.
But is there a possibility that he really genuinely, his MO was he was desperate to be engaged and have a woman?
No. Because
you don't think so at all?
No.
I didn't think that. I actually feel like he's one of the ones that's so horny that he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, love." But
so horny.
She was crazy horny for him. I mean, he was the clearly the person she wanted to go to bed with more than all of them.
They had good physical, like they had some hot kisses. I would say like that. The week before the second to last episode, their goodbye kiss was actually pretty hot. Like I have to say, you know, I mean,
they had it.
If you're super horny, they had chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she wanted the full, she thought as she cruised through this thing that she would sleep with two dudes and then pick one. Right. And then when that all fell apart, and then the first dude she slept with apparently rocked her world so hard that like poor Justin has just got to go back to eye rolling school. And, you know, he's over there bugging out.
But I don't think that it was ever Justin that she wanted to sleep. She didn't. It wasn't Justin. I think it was
she would have gotten it down to Greg and Blake. And
I think she would have slept with producers Michael, had let Blake,
if the producers had let Blake go first, she would have slept with him, but she still would have slept with Greg and then probably ended up with Greg.
I agree with you.
Didn't want her to sleep with Blake.
Greg couldn't. I had a problem with. Oh, that's interesting. So you think his shenanigans on the patio of the Panera outside at the Hyatt, you think his shenanigans was just because he couldn't handle you're about to, like, leave with me before you
overnights.
Fight Blake. Let's pull a Claire and Dale and call this thing. Let's not go through with the steps. But she wants to go through the process. She wanted to, you know, she likes the idea of trying these things out, taking them for a spin.
I think more than that, I think, and we were discussing this, I think ABC after Claire, and they've had a lot, they have not had a normal season for a while. I think even Matt James wanted to leave. I think it's contractually, you have to go to the point where you're on the podium, either you have to go through Neil Lane and you have to be waiting on
We need this many episodes. Yes. You can't
and
fail.
You literally are contract, or you have to pay ABC like $4 million. You cannot break the contract.
We have to put you in a weird desert setting by yourself. Tumbleweeds might blow into your face, but we need to make you seem very alone.
Yes, but you have to. You cannot leave early. You can't leave early. Okay, Bachelor of the Year, how are you feeling?
I thought maybe the thing with Greg was that he wasn't her number one. That she wanted to take him.
Jim Jeffries thought he wasn't the number one.
She wanted to take him to final two.
Oh, I thought he was.
She wanted to take him to final two, but you know he was a front runner, but he wasn't going to be the one.
What made you say that?
Because. Why did she never say I was planning on taking you? Why did she not say you're the guy?
She kind of said did.
She said you're number one.
And he said, you were always my number one.
Always. Yeah, you've always been my number one. Well, I don't want to just be a number was his response.
Yeah, she
said you're going to be here next week.
Yeah, which is
she gave him everything he needed to hear, except I understand later when he says, you needed me to say I love you, but I needed you to say you love me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me say what Lance
disagree.
Lance Bass's husband pointed out he didn't say I love you. No, Jim Jeffries pointed out he didn't say I love you. All he said was you fill a hole in my heart. And then was so angry. He never said I love you. He said, you fill a hole in my heart. And then he felt so vulnerable.
Well, he said a lot, right? He didn't say I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the new thing is every one of these guys thinks opening up to a person is that's it. You should fall in love with me because I opened up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jerry Traynor, you have feelings. Talk to us, Jerry Traynor.
Look, this one's hard. And I'm going to use a caveat that I've only used for Claire.
Right.
Which is, I don't like talking bad about people. And I just want to say that we are discussing the characters that we are shown by ABC.
Right.
This is, I don't know these people. I don't know Katie. I don't know Greg. I don't know any of these people or Blake. We are having fun talking about these characters that we are shown and are edited in a certain way.
Yes.
But the whole situation with her and Greg, to me, has been so confused. Ultimately, he opened up to her, gave her this big emotional spiel. I don't think he needed her to say, I love you. I think he needed her to behave like a human being, though. And all she, and she behaved like a game show contestant. And he was like, ugh. Like, she could have thrown her arms around him and kissed him and been like, you're amazing. Like, oh, you're so wonderful. I can't see life without you. She could have had any, instead she like looked at him quizzically, like she was in a job interview, and then used all that game terminology. And he was like, why are you talking to me like that? And then he left. He was like, and they talk about, she goes, so this one moment, and you're just going to leave? And I'm like, well, that's not fair, because this is a show about moments that are under the microscope. And if you screw up in one moment, you get booted off the show. Like, that's what this is a series of moments. And I think in that moment, he went, oh, this person isn't right for me, because I'm in love with them and they're playing a game.
I need Padgett Brewster to interject here. Padgett.
I just want to ask Jerry, because here's where I'm confused. Are you saying she behaved that way when they were on the couch at the end, yes, of their date?
Yes.
So you're not talking about, okay.
No, the moment where he was like,
when he came back the next day.
No.
He opened up and she was smiling, and he said what? And she said, I love looking at you.
Yeah. She was like, I just love looking at you. And he went, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we're not. And go to the tape, because Rob mentioned that he thought Greg was not number one. I think I said Blake was going to end up with her as well, because Greg was too emo for her. I think that's what I said. And this turned out to be right. Like, he's too emotional and she's too rigid.
All right, I need Katie Levine to weigh in here. Katie, you've heard all the angles. You know exactly how I have felt about this. This is a new POV. I need to hear what you think about this.
I agree.
This new information, this new perspective from the sentence.
On like whether or not Greg was going to be number one?
Yes.
I think he was, because I agree with Jerry, where like the way that she acted after the hometown date, when he's like opening up to her. But again, he actually didn't say he loved her. I will, you know, I admit that. She just was terrible. She was terrible there. Like, just the way she was looking at him, it's like she wasn't listening to him. I think she was just daydreaming, honestly. Like, I don't think it was anything malicious. I think she was just daydreaming and not listening to him. But she did essentially tell him, it's you. She was like, you're here next week. It's just two more weeks. Just wait. We're almost there. We're almost to the end. I think she couldn't flat out be like, it's fucking you, it's you, it's you. But she was like essentially telling him that.
Here's what I want to say. You know, I am getting divorced. I had a very happy marriage. I'm still friends with my ex. So like, it was a very happy marriage. Here's what I want to say. For me, I remember early on when you're almost with somebody and you realize, like, oh, my God, this is the person. It was overwhelming to the point where I felt like I was almost looking into a light that was too bright. And I remember him saying very early on, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I remember sort of freezing, even though I kind of felt this. I was so overwhelmed. I didn't quite know what to say. And I remember, even though I was, like, all in, I just get scared with, like, it's scary when it's coming at you and it's right there. Like, so I think there's something that I remember just saying, like, that makes me feel good or whatever. But like that, I wonder if she was overwhelmed and there was some self-protection coming on. I see the sentinel's hand.
That may be true. And this is where I really want to be clear is I was never team Greg or team Katie. Like, people are taking sides in this. And I couldn't stand Greg's voice from the get-go.
Yeah.
I think this is a situation where he realized this is not the, like, it's, she didn't give him what he needed in that one moment. And it woke him up to the reality that this is not my forever person. We're supposed to be getting engaged here in like a week. I can't do it. So I'm going to leave. and she didn't really do anything to get him to stay. And it's like
the way that he left was very belittling when she was like, are you okay? What do you mean? Well, you seem like you're off. I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know. You just seem different. What do you mean? Like, he was such a dick about it that, like, and apparently, according to the internet, that's what he does. He's like all in, and then he's like a real fucking dick to the ladies that he's dating.
Well, I can't comment to that, right? I'm talking about what I saw on this show.
Like, he was so sweet, and then I felt like the second he shut out, no matter what she said, there was nothing she could have said. Like, there was a wall that came down.
Yes, like, that came that's down true.
So hard, and there was such a
But that's this show.
Captain.
Do I need to just start yelling? I mean, I'll
Captain.
They coaxed him out onto a fucking balcony to watch his dream girl make out with number two, the guy that was his biggest threat.
Yes, great,
he
Captain.
He melted down continuously from there.
Yes, the guy, Captain.
The guy could not handle all of that. Like, it was too... And why should anybody have to handle that? That's the weird part of the show.
Aye, Captain.
Padgett.
I also concur with Arden. I am happily married, but when I realized Steve was the guy, I actively became a bitch. Like, I pretty much tried to shove him away because I was not ready to give up my independence. I thought it was going to be the end of my life. I don't know why. My parents are happily married, but I thought, oh, fuck, it's this guy. We're going to do this. Like,
yes.
I can't get rid of him. But I hate him. This isn't going to work. I got to get rid of it. I was a bitch to him, and he just laughed all the way through.
Which is what Blake, I feel like Blake has been able to show up and kind of roll with.
He rolled with it.
Imagine if, look, to Doug's point, the producers are evil. They made him watch him, like, make out with the horniest guy in town. But let's just say he didn't see that. Let's say that he went on a date. Let's say that Blake was the one that left and Greg went on a date with her. And she's like, Blake left and I wanted to quit. Greg couldn't have rolled with it.
Nope. But I really thought Greg was it. So confused and stunned by that whole thing. I'm still confused. I don't know if he needed her to say that she loved him. I swear I thought he said, I love you. I thought once he didn't get what he wanted, he completely shut down
to
get out.
He was a baby. Robbie B.
I was bad and shut down on Steve. And it ultimately, I'm glad he, you know, laughed his way through it and stayed with me. But I've done that. I've shut down.
Robbie B.
Well, part of what's going on here too is it's a show. And what I wanted to say to Greg was like, this is the motherfucking Bachelorette, dude. This is what you signed up for.
And I totally
get that. What maybe I even misread her signs because I didn't see. I thought she just wanted to take him to the final two, but he wasn't necessarily. But what confused me is how angry she was at the after the final rose. Like, she could have really played that better. Like, to me, that was.
I loved it. I loved it because it was not produced. I loved it because it was. I thought he was the one she wanted, and that she
made it seem like he was the one.
I thought so too.
Upset.
I thought he was the one she wanted. And she found out all the stuff that his shy guy act that she got played, like that he was never there for her. He's not a shy guy. He was like the coolest guy in high school. He was actually like kind of a dick to a lot of women. He's there for his acting career. Katie, I saw you wanting to get in. Katie Levine, I know when you got to get in, you got to get in, girl.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was just agreeing with you that like the way she acted, how angry she was, I think he was number one. And she, again, she's doing the whole like, you know, trying to make herself feel like, no, I chose Blake because he was my number one the whole time. And it's like, I think she does like Blake, but I think Greg was number one. And she had to act like she was just so over Greg at this point. You know,
if that's he wasn't number one, then the way she acted out of the final rose is really shitty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This Sentinel is going crazy. What I do enjoy, what I enjoyed about the TV aspect of it was, she was not polished at all. She was every person that has felt fucked over that has been given a chance to just go at it. I need our Dougie B. How do you feel, Dougie B?
Yeah, she really did give it to him, but it was just kind of more of the two of them. I just think they're really not meant for each other. Like, they just don't, you know, they don't know how to communicate with each other. Yeah. Like, they don't even know how to tell each other they're mad, you know, without just being, just having a very confusing conversation. Like, in that one scene where he was mad at her, you know, back on the show, he at one point very dramatically said, "What's going to happen? We're going to make love in the fantasy suite.
And then what?"
So that's where I was like, oh, he's obsessed with the fact that that's what's supposed to happen in the fantasy suite. And what if he gets sloppy seconds? He doesn't want it. He wants to go first.
Right. And, you know? And beyond that, let's say he does go first. He doesn't want somebody going second or third. Usually there's three. So three people that could potentially have gotten with your future wife.
Yeah.
And he cannot deal with that. I love Doug's theory about that.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Doug about the fact that he's just recently watched every single season of Paradise. Oh, my God. Oh, yes, they did!
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Okay, wait, Doug, you recently watched a bunch of seasons of Paradise, which one? You loved the Carly and Evan love story.
That's the thing that's so funny is I'm so far behind. You know, I saw the whole Carly and Evan thing and found it amazing. And right when I got to their wedding is when I texted you like, oh, it's so great they got married on Paradise. And, you know, I had heard that their marriage lasted, but apparently only lasted till last year. And so I didn't get the memo. And you were like, oh, they broke up. And I was just, I couldn't believe it.
They were so cute.
They were fun. They were nice. They did the show in Nashville, didn't they?
Yeah, they were like the great hope for everybody of like, I mean, the sheer fact that he pulled that off, that he ate the pepper, the grossest kiss in the history of mankind with all the more spit than his pepper. And then he like faked his injury to go to get her to the hospital in an ambulance, and then it worked rather than being like, you're a stalker. Like, Jerry, you don't know about this, but this dude literally, she was way out of his league. He was a dick doctor. He was like an erectile dysfunction dick doctor.
Yeah,
that's what they call me. What's his name?
Evan. They always throw in a kind of a nerdy character so that, you know, somebody, everybody can feel bad for. And then sometimes.
Yeah, he was like the nerd. You know? And then like she was this cutie pie singer songwriter, like cool, cute.
What's her name?
Carly Waddell. And she was way out of his league, but they became friends and he amused her. And then he basically stalked her. And then they fell in love and they got married and had two babies, but they broke up last December.
Oh, man.
Didn't make it through COVID.
They didn't make it through COVID. Yeah, COVID takes a lot of people.
Yeah.
His social still says, his bio says that he's got he holds a Guinness book, record. And it's the thing that ABC set up. Any two people could have done it. Yeah. All they had to do is hold their faces together with a pepper in their mouths.
And a really hot pepper.
Yeah, but people can do that.
All right, so here we are. I mean, so at the end, yes, Padgett.
Can we just, I'm sorry, I did not do any background research on Greg being an actor or a dick or a, can you just tell me what was found or heard? I'm sorry.
So I can tell you, Anna or Katie sent last night, there is a whole thread. And again, we try not to like find out stuff to the end because we try to be spoiler free. But there's like all these internet threads that a lot of, somebody compiled them all in one place. And basically, there's a lot of women that came forward that this whole like sweet, nice guy from New Jersey thing is an act, that he desperately wants to be an actor, that he was actually that he would call like his girlfriends, he would like shame them if they wore a skirt. That was like, he would basically erode people's confidence. He would talk about how much prettier his ex-girlfriends were than the other ex-girlfriends.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why Katie keeps getting madder and madder about him, is because she just feels like she was completely, duped.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That he's never had a job. He lives in his mom's house. That he's always been told how handsome he was and that he just treats women allegedly.
Well, there's two halves to this, right? There's the wanting to be an actor thing, which don't all these people want to be models and actors? But then there's the abusing women thing. And that's a completely separate thing.
Yeah,
and if he has a track record of that,
I mean, I think it's just sort of like emotional, not a fit. I don't think anybody said he's done anything physically at all, but just that emotionally he allegedly. Right. Katie Levine, like what is your take on how he's emotionally?
Anna was the one that actually sent this and was more into it. But yeah, there was like a few cases where people being like, yeah, he was just really shitty to me or to my friend who he was dating. And he would just like manipulate them. And manipulate them and make them like,
he would talk about how bad she looked, make jokes about them, ignore them, like talk about the ex-girlfriend, talk about how much better looking the ex-girlfriend was.
Just like messed up shit. You're just like, you don't know. Like, and I think, Katie learned that all and then realized she had been manipulated and he probably was her number one and she just felt really tricked.
Tricked.
Here's the thing
that you just said. Who wrote this? This thing you just said. It's like, also, he doesn't go down on girls, which is.
Oh, yeah, that. We never discussed that. Allegedly, in this thread, he doesn't go down on girls.
He's out. Get him out of here.
He's got a bad back. Leave him alone.
That's hard. That completely rocks me, though, because that I didn't know any of that stuff when I saw it. And so for me, her level of anger and rage.
Yeah.
After the final rose or whatever that's called. The
same.
The way I took that was, wow, this doesn't look like someone who's blissfully in love with Blake. This exactly. looks like somebody holding a grudge.
Yeah.
And the reason they're holding a grudge is because this dude made her look bad. He made her look bad at her own party
and she didn't like
the way he made her look at her game show.
I think she loved him. I think she was confused. I think she was all in on him. I think she thought she was going to marry him.
Huh.
And then I think she was completely sideswiped with, oh my God, you tricked me.
Right.
Yeah. Also, it does make it, if you hear about all this, then I wonder if in the moment where, because frankly, I think now in hindsight, he did do a pretty good acting job when he was saying to her, like, I don't care about the rose. Basically, he was like, let's you and me go right now. And she wouldn't say, okay. So maybe she in that moment felt in the room the way you can feel energy in a room. We're not going to see it on a screen. That she knew something was off. That she knew she wasn't answering him because she felt like, wait a minute, something's not right here. Something's not genuine. Something disingenuous is happening.
Yeah.
Although I will say, when he did open up to her, it did feel really sweet. Like in the moment that he opened up,
and that's why I'm so confused.
Me too.
Well, I feel like he opened up, and then I think when he felt vulnerable, like the second it wasn't answered, look, she was not good in the moment. It was a bad response. I'm not saying, I mean, she did not, I see why he felt bad. But like once he felt exposed, he was so mean about how he was. And like, look, I think, and I also would think, just knowing her history of abuse, like watching herself begging on her knees,
right,
like somebody who's not giving
that was
her,
tough.
Who like in theory, if let's say he did just say he loved her, whatever, you fill a hole in my heart. And it wasn't exactly like he was so out and there was no getting through and like was kind of like so like, how can you be like, you're it, and then have no conversation at all afterwards?
It was a shock reversal. It was a real turn.
But this is a show where you boot people after you talk to them for 10 minutes. Like this whole thing where it's like, how can you switch from this to that when that's what this show is about?
But we're down to the final three at this point. It's not like we're at like 35 guys. Like,
normally you boot them.
But also,
you boot him.
It had to be insanely traumatic, more traumatic than any other bachelorette, to just have a series of dudes just like bouncing,
leaving
because they're good guys and they have these other things to go do.
Right?
Yes.
She's just watching. She's just losing all the guys that are the good guys.
Yeah.
F boy Blake is still just waiting at the end of the line.
Yes. I agree with that. Like that's what she didn't like. These guys are leaving on their own when I'm supposed to be the one booting them.
Nobody
and she didn't
like
that.
I would
so
like
by
that.
The time. Yeah, but you know what I mean?
Like
it's weird to me to hear people say he was mean because he wanted to leave. And it's like,
it was the way he did it, but he didn't do it. You know, who did it elegantly? Michael. He didn't do it in a way that was like, you know what? Like he did it. What do you mean? Like he was like, so like the way he was like a little brat, like he didn't do it as a man, like as an adult. He was like a little kid that was hurt.
Fair. And,
yeah. Like that's the way it was, the way it went
that's
down.
That's how
like
he has been this entire series.
Yeah,
though.
I think
he was a little bitch.
I've not been rooting for him. I think he's
You got a lot of old Wreck-It Ralph, Buckethead. What's
the Blake?
Yeah. After all that.
Fake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah. after all that, and even like her being honestly upset with him after the final rose, like he got more time. Gray got more time than Wreck-It Ralph did. And after even after all that, he's like, he's in. He's in.
And by the way, I felt like he played it well. And he came out, he was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I enjoyed the say anything.
I mean, in the audience, you know,
that was so cringe.
Every step of the way, Blake's part of the show was heavily produced.
Yeah,
like all the way through, they just went to Blake when they needed him.
Yes,
well, let's talk about the fact that he went to his ex girlfriend became Neil Lane.
Yes.
With the ring.
Yes.
How weird was that when he had a boner on the air with Tayshia, and there she is, like. How cringe was that?
Oh, that's so weird.
He was just getting a massage. Yes, and he got cold feet.
And he got cold feet.
He wouldn't have. If Neil Lane was sitting there, he wouldn't have been thinking, hey, wait a second, exactly. Is this the right woman for me?
Yeah. Oh, my God. He was like, Tayshia looks good.
Yeah, it felt like that a little bit. And how about Neil Lane?
Really good, not, yeah.
Neil Lane does not.
Not quarantine. He's not willing to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no.
He's but, over it.
I'll show my face.
He looked good
on FaceTime.
Yeah,
we saw him.
He looked good on FaceTime. I have to
Neil
say,
Neil Lane may
better.
Be an anti-vaxxer. I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe.
No, I don't care. I don't know.
Who knows? Wait,
who
so,
knows?
Okay, may I
who
ask a question?
Yes, please.
Do you guys all think that Blake just completely faked the whole thing?
Yeah,
and
let's
so
talk
did
about
she?
That.
And she just had to do it and get engaged and, like, I'm engaged, like, to make a happy ending? What do you think? What do you think the deal is now?
All right, Jerry's hand went up.
I was just going to say, I think it was Michael left, Greg left, and she was like, Blake, if you propose, I'm in. Like, I'm not leaving without that rock. Love me, I love you. Even though I'm super against turning on a dime, I will turn right on that dime for you, buddy.
But you up top said that you thought he was number one the whole time, Blake.
Yes, I thought I did. Oh, I thought they were right for each other. I thought they were going to be like they both are just playing the bachelor sort of game. And it made sense. And I was like, Greg's too emo for her. She's too into the game. And they ended up together. And is it real love though? No, not even kind of. It's like, let's get on this tour. Let's get our money. Let's sell these magazines. And then whatever.
I have to say from her, I don't know about Blake. This is the least thirsty bachelorette I feel like we've seen in a while. She is not a pageant gal. I truly felt like she wanted to come find a husband. You meet her mom and her aunt who we need
Jeez.
To talk about.
Oh my God. Whoa. Let's talk Aunt Lindsay.
Good God.
When Aunt Lindsay, when he gave Aunt Lindsay the flowers and she threw them down. And then she Aunt Lindsay was just like basically was like, here's what you need. She's like, oh, you're back after you got rejected so many times. You ultimately mean nothing. You better be secure as fuck. We will not rely on a man. If you are invited in, you should be so lucky, like you piece of shit. Like, Aunt Lindsay, would you rather go on? Okay, Jerry, would you rather? I know you can't stand Claire. Would you rather drive across coast to coast, Maine to Baja with Aunt Lindsay or Claire?
I would go to Neil Lane and I'd be like, I'm going to marry Claire.
Yeah.
Before I would go before I would take a 10-minute drive with Aunt Lindsay.
I need Doug Benson to talk to me about Aunt Lindsay. Doug Benson, give us your thoughts on Aunt Lindsay.
I mean, that's where Blake impressed me is that he just took it. He just took all of it and acted like, that's how it should work. I should be, I should be nothing in this family and completely disposable.
He didn't. That's what I was like. Oh, he
He played it. He played it just right.
He took his medicine.
He was a monk about that. I was like, how is he doing this?
Because he's back for the third time and he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
Nope.
Yeah.
What would you do if you had to meet Aunt Lindsay, Rob?
I would crawl into a little ball and hide. I mean, I'd hide.
Protect your genitals.
Would you rather go on a road trip with Aunt Lindsay or Chad?
Well, I'll say this. I did respect Aunt Lindsay's candor.
God, is that what we're calling this?
Well, Chad, I can't be in a car with Chad.
No, he'd kill you. But so would Aunt Lindsay. I actually have to say, Rob, I've thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that you would be the best host of The Bachelor. And here's why.
Wow, great.
I feel like you're fun and you're relatable and you're easy to talk to, but you won't give off like the creep vibes. Like there's no part that would be like, so girls, like I feel like you'd be rooting for them, but you'd also be like cute and charming and like relatable in a way.
I also see both sides. I honestly, as we're talking about this whole thing, I'm like, you know, you're right. Greg did have a good point there. Oh, right. But Katie, actually, she had a good point too. And
you know. I feel like you would be a good host also, like, with the guys. You'd be like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Like,
yeah.
Like, don't you think Rob would be the best host?
He'd be great. He'd be great.
No.
Thank you. Thank you.
Going back.
Doug Benson, yes.
Going back and watching, you know, I've been watching a lot of Bachelor and Bachelorette that I missed over the years. And going back, it is a little bit surprising how little screen time Chris Harrison got.
Yes.
Like, he really isn't around that much. And it seems to like now faded over into like F-Boy Island, like Nikki Glaser hosts that. And she just sort of pops in and she's funny when she pops in. But, you know, like these shows can go so hostless. The Paradise, I think, is going to be really fun because, like, you know, I've seen David the footage Spade. Of David Spade. And it's more fun to see David Spade greet these people than Chris Harrison just because it's David Spade, you know?
Yeah. Well,
and he likes the show and he's interested in the characters and stuff.
Yeah.
Lance Bass did our podcast last week and he hosts episode 2 and 3. And we asked him how he was and he was like, it was amazing. And he doesn't know what happens like because he's also a super fan of the show. So he was talking about like being at the resort, how exciting it was to walk through the doors, like all of it. Like it was like he couldn't believe he was at Paradise. And
That's
he
amazing.
Said that it's because he hosts episodes 2 and 3. And he said people because it wasn't on last year and it's the best part of the franchise. He was like people came for air time. Like they came to play. She's like, it is crazy.
Wow.
They came to play. And
I can't wait.
I can't believe
FabFitFun codes.
I can't believe what's her name is back.
Demi,
yeah.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
Back. And I think dating guys and gals.
Yeah. Surprising. Yeah.
I love it.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be so great.
This will be my first Captain Bachelor approved. In Paradise.
Captain. Oh, my gosh. Jerry. Oh, Jerry.
Thanks,
it's
guys.
It's worth watching the old ones, Jerry.
I'm really excited.
Doug, tell us if you're wrong, but if we're wrong, because it's most recent, but I do think the Carly and Evan, although the one before that with Tanner and Jade is a great season, too.
I'd say just skip season one. There's no reason.
Start with season two. Season two and three are great. Those are two great seasons.
Yeah. And four has got so far has some interesting stuff. That's where I am now. It's got Carly's wedding. Is that
the one with consent where Chris Harrison teaches them about
consent? The one where Chris has a whole speech where they all have to individually say that they understand how consent works. And of course, that's something they probably have never done to another other contestant ever since.
Right.
The paperwork. Maybe you have to sign something, but
right.
But it was really weird the way they went around the room, like it was the emergency exit row and you have to say yes.
Right.
Yes. Right.
And it was the two that weren't consenting, that had consent issues, were gone. The rest of them had to sit there and, you know, it's like I feel like it happens at comedy clubs. Like they'll say you can only have two drinks when you're playing the comedy club because the headliner last week drank too much and we have to put a limit on how much you can have. Like it sucks when one person's behavior then ruins it for everybody else that's about to come.
Circling back after Aunt Lindsay, I have to say meeting Katie's mom and Aunt Lindsay, seeing that she's kind of alone. Katie doesn't strike me as somebody who's trying to become like the next Access Hollywood reporter. Like she actually feels like she, to me, was looking for a partner, like more than I think a lot of the gals have recently. Like, I felt like this is a woman who felt sort of alone and like she wanted to find a person and like maybe she'd had some bad guys and wanted to pick. And I will say every step of the way throughout the season, one of the things I liked about her as a bachelorette was she didn't feel manipulated by the producer. She seemed to like not keep like as soon as somebody was like drama. Normally, I feel like they would get strung along for weeks to wreak havoc, like, and she would just cut people immediately. So to me, I didn't feel like she was just doing it.
I mean, there could have been a little getting engaged to prove to Greg that she was fine, but I don't know that she was doing it for People magazine covers. I don't know. Padgett, what do you think?
She doesn't seem that way to me either, and it almost feels like maybe there was that turning point. I bet she did sign a contract where when she said, I want someone to book me a flight home, they then explained that's not possible. You'll be on the hook for the cost of each episode that we don't shoot if you go. And so I don't know if she just shook hands with the devil and decided to get engaged to Blake, or if there was an emotional component to it. Doug, what do you think?
I think she's, you know, the first bachelorette that was more like Cinderella. Like, she's just magically suddenly the bachelorette, but doesn't have any of the training for such a thing. She's a bank manager. She managed a bank. She's a sweet, funny girl who managed a bank and showed up with a dildo the first day. You know what I mean? Like, she did.
I love this idea, the Cinderella. I love it.
She's not like all the girls that have been the bachelorette are women that have succeeded at every step of their life. They're like the cream of the crop. They're not a bank manager. You know, no offense to bank managers. A bank manager in the Pacific Northwest, you know, who likes to, you know, go with a canteen and take a long walk, you know, and then now she's in designer clothes that are picked for her. And she doesn't know to say, oh, this looks dumb.
By the way, apparently she styled herself. And I actually think it shows that she is the bank manager. I think
she's
got a lot of stuff from Amazon. Like, those were all her clothes. She said she didn't let them style her. That she maybe the last gown.
That explains a lot.
It does. Yeah, I mean, you can tell.
She was real. Look, she's a cute, she's a beautiful gal, but like she's real basic, and she always looked like a cute bank manager. Mm-hmm. And she could look. Tayshia looked great. Like Tayshia's got her stylist through the roof. Mm-hmm. Like if I were the Bachelorette, I'd be like, just get me Tayshia's stylist and like let's do this. Like make me over Hollywood. But like she, I think, stayed true to being a bank manager. She went to Kohl's and got her, you know, T-shirts and
those boots. Yeah. But do you, but here's my question. If she's not the typical, and I agree with, is a Cinderella, was it Doug or Rob?
I love
Cinderella?
That idea.
Doug.
Yeah, I think that's true. But then is she being disingenuous to get engaged to Blake? Or did she decide this is my pretty princess moment and I want it all?
I feel, to me, looking at it, it's just a guess. You've been isolated. You're like Stockholm syndrome. You, all your friends, like you're crazy. You're tired. You're emotional. She's just had a whirlwind of like two dudes that she really liked that were like
rejecting
peace out,
her.
And one of them being kind of mean. And you're like, what happened? And then you got to go on this date. They throw the water paint. Like, and again, I do think it was a smart date of like, just do something physical and kind of sexy just to like, because she's got the contract. So she's got to finish it out. So like, and then like, it's not super chatty. It's just kind of fun. And then it is fun to throw, you know, she's in her cute little overalls. They're throwing water. Like, she does like this guy. And I wonder if there's a crack of like, just when you're crazy enough, when your heart's been like, the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else of like, well, he's sexy and nice and he's man enough to take it. He's not scared that I wanted to leave. Like, maybe this is destined. I think your brain can go, no, this is it. I think your brain can talk you into destiny.
Sure. Like, well, maybe not destiny, but like, let's get through this TV show and then, you know, she's going to move to Ontario, Canada.
Hamilton. The hammer.
She's going to move to Hamilton. And he goes to Africa for a month. He thinks he might be doing a project where he's going to go to Africa for a month.
She had two unemployed dudes that she was picking between. Have you played Yuck Yucks Hamilton? Have you played the Hamilton Yuck Yucks? The hammer?
I haven't yuck yucked much. I yuck yucked in Vancouver once.
I love the yuck yucks. And I got to tell you, I've played the yuck yucks hammer twice. And it's actually a blast. And it's like tough living in the hammer. Like it is like, it's not Vancouver Stanley Park. Like, it's like the Hammer. Like, he's living in the Hammer.
Does that mean? What do you mean?
That's,
like, it's just like
a nickname. Like, it's a little more industrial. It's a little more like
cold.
It's
colder.
A little more. It's cold. I think it's a little more blue collar. Like, it's a little more mills. Like, it's a little rougher than like. Yeah, she's not moving to like Montreal or Vancouver. Yeah. Right, she's moving to the Hammer, which I loved the Hammer. But like, it's so cold that it's all underground malls that are connected, like the Batcave.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go. Like, you go down in order to get to the club. You like exit through the Starbucks in the lobby underground, and then it turns at the back of the Starbucks is a mall, and then you walk through the mall underground. So your face doesn't freeze off, and then you're
so it's like a town of mole people.
Yeah, mole people. It's a mole.
Yeah,
mole
and then
people.
You go like underground, and then there's like discount clothing stores underground, and then you like find the elevator to the comedy. That's how you're living like a few months a year.
You open the hotel end table and there's no Bible. It's just a bottle of maple syrup.
Look at that. Is that a fly swatter?
Yes, there's a huge fly.
I'm pretty sure Padgett's playing badminton.
But the size that you had handy. You had that handy.
Because these flies make me crazy.
Oh, my God.
Look at
Padgett's on fire. Okay, I'm going to take a quick ad break while Padgett kills the fly.
She's going in and out of frame. That is hilarious.
Okay, we're going to take a break while she kills the fly, and we'll be right back to talk about – we're going to talk about Sweet Justin and his faces when we come back.
To get sexy.
Oh, yeah.
I need a sexual timeout.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back.
Okay, you guys, let's talk about Justin for 1 second. The poor guy didn't even get a jump leg wrap. I have to say I agree with him when he said I was just there, like I was there by default, basically, because everybody else had left. You know, Justin,
I was surprised how much he cared.
I know, and it was at the after the final rose when he was like
choked up. Yeah.
Oh,
he was sweet.
Really sweet.
Yeah. I mean,
too good. But, too good for her.
Yeah.
Just not. Oh, I loved his faces too.
His faces. He's gonna
and his reaction to it. Like, I didn't know.
Will he be Bachelor? Because I want him.
His face
is great TV.
Katie thinks yes.
I think there's a real possibility, him or maybe Andrew. But I would love Justin.
I was gonna say he's never a villain. He was always like on the right side of things.
Always,
I'm patting myself on the back. Go to the tape. I called Blake and Justin is back in the next Bachelor.
Now, here's what I want to say, though. I fear because there's a whole other Bachelorette, I bet they pick from Michelle's season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And maybe they should. I mean, truly, there was no one here that was like, oh, that guy.
I mean, Andrew was a sweetie pie, but
get a girl though. I mean, he was just like,
he's so cute.
Like,
and sweet.
He came off so great on the show, and he's so cute. Like, and he's smart. He'll get a really.
I'm
nice
excited.
Girl.
It's interesting watching the ads from Paradise. I feel like the great break of the pandemic has made my memory. I don't know if you guys have this. I feel like my memory.
I don't know who Michelle is. I don't know who you're talking about. My memory is gone.
She was the athlete. I think she was from Minnesota. Remember they played basketball.
She was the teacher.
But they played like basketball.
She was runner up.
They were riding bicycles, Matt James, and he was being rambunctious, and they wrecked their bicycles. Yeah.
She played. Yeah. She had the sweetest family. They played basketball. The whole family played basketball when the family
Michelle
came in.
Young,
yes,
Michelle
yes.
Young,
yes.
She was my favorite.
She's the next Bachelorette that's going to start immediately
she
after
was
Paradise.
So great. She was tall and cool and like sporty, and she was a teacher. Her kids came on and they asked questions. Yes, Jerry.
I have a question because you asked a question at the beginning,
yes,
which was. How do you feel about this season? And we all kind of went, bleh, pfft. I feel like the fun of The Bachelor is, or the franchise,
is when
they're traveling around. Like,
yes!
They're stuck at these crap-ass hotels. Like, La Quinta at least had the context of, this is the first thing we're doing during COVID. Like, it was interesting. At this point, after Matt and now this, I'm
we're
just
at
like
a Hyatt in Albuquerque.
And the whole water balloon paintball thing sucks. It's like these dates suck.
I know. I believe
you. No, the same way.
Wait, Katie Levine talked.
Are they going to start traveling with Michelle? Michelle's. That's my question.
Yes, Katie's.
I like Michelle. I remember Michelle now. I looked her up.
Katie Levine talked.
So I know where they're filming the beginning of Michelle's season. So it is. Sorry, hold on. I just had.
Are they? But they're not doing Michaela Bassett. They're not back at the mansion.
No. So they're gonna start it at the Renaissance Esmeralda Resort and Spa in Indian Wells, California. So that's right near La Quinta. It's like the same area.
I miss the mansion. I miss the mansion.
Then they are going to travel reportedly.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. So they're starting out there, and then they're going to travel.
The shows are getting so boring and stale.
Just within the U.S.
It says one location. I don't know if you want me to say it. Do you want me to say it?
It
says they're going to go to Minnesota for sure, but it sounds like they're going to go some other places. But it's still like it's filming right now. Like they started end of July.
Give me a St. Bart's. Give me a Jamaica.
Oh, I feel like. I feel like they're staying domestic.
Minnesota.
They have, right?
All right, fine.
I don't know.
Give me a Miami. Give me an Atlanta. Give me Nashville.
The resort
looks like a Crested Butte, Colorado.
The resort looks really nice, by the way.
They used to go to some islands for the end of it.
Yeah, they would always like go to Sandals, Bahama and shit.
Let's go to Puerto Rico. You know?
Yes.
Remember the final moment should be at this, the most beautiful.
Yeah.
Place you've ever seen.
Let's go to the Dominican.
This was on
Rob, you don't like just like fire scrub brush country? Like, you don't love that? With like Navajo carpets hanging off ladders?
So many blankets.
So many blankets. I also feel like she got the low budge season where they were busy fighting the lawsuit from Chris Harrison. And Katie thinks that, or maybe Anna, somebody thought that they had the crew that was like not their normal crew, that they needed the tax credit from New Mexico. So it was like the local crew to get the tax credit.
That's what I said at the beginning. I felt kind of bad about it. But like the camera work was really sloppy, especially in the beginning. Like the zooms were just like terrible. And I was like, who did they hire?
Their eye was not on the ball. Yeah. They were like dealing with Chris Harrison going, I know where all the bodies are buried. Remember that intern you got pregnant? Like that. Right. Like right. They were busy dealing with his settlement. Right.
His golden parachute.
Yeah. And like, and then also having kind of like blown it with Matt James. And then, by the way, he is back together with Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, they're hanging out. I think it's all, you know, they just went, oh, shit, we're not. Really, no one's paying attention to us, especially her. So let's hang out.
And Claire and Dale. Yes. Yes, Padgett.
Does anyone think that this Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez thing is real? Because I
love
can't
it.
Tell.
I love it I so much. I love it. Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love that she's like, you know what, A-Rod? Oh, you've been fucking around with this Southern Charm star from Bravo when you're with fucking J-Lo. Guess what? I'm going to have the dirtiest sex in the world with this maniac, barely sober addict with an eagle back tattoo who's going to like fuck me every which way to Sunday all over Capri in front of every paparazzi we can call, you piece of shit. That's
yeah, Argo, fuck yourself.
Argo, fuck yourself.
Have you heard that theory that like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, like one can't be doing well without the other sort of stumbling?
No.
They live in this like alternate. So like Matt Damon was doing great. Ben Affleck was kind of on the rocks, but now Ben Affleck is back with J-Lo and Matt Damon is like, kind of like, I guess he's made some comment about a homophobic slur.
Oh, yeah.
He did?
So now he's covering, he's recovering from that. And it's like, they're on
it.
This like weird this yo-yo.
So they're like attached by a chain to some success meter.
Yeah.
And like, they can't both do well. Like it's the law.
Yeah, it's they're like the Highlander. There can only be one.
I love it. I love it. I love her. Like, literally, you think about with A-Rod, too, it's like, you're with J-Lo. Like, what do you want, bro? She doesn't age. She's never looked better. She killed it at the Super Bowl. Like, she's, like, fucking billionaire. Like, what do you want, brah? And it's like, oh, I'll show you. I will go back to the, like, the just, you know they have crazy sex. Everywhere. I love it. And he's like, you know, putting all that sort of Jones and energy towards like, you know, he's just like hooked on J-Lo.
You think they put on Geely while they're doing it?
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
The soundtrack.
Oh, God.
I think I saw it opening night. I'm trash. You need to know. I'm a trash person, but I make no bones about that. I'm pretty upfront about it.
What about Schwimmer and Aniston? Did you hear about that?
What?
Yeah,
no.
That's been debunked already.
What's the rumor?
Okay. Well, the rumor was
they're together. They're not.
Well,
that's the whole story. It was like raging for a whole day or two.
Wow.
Because did you guys watch the Friends reunion and they talked about how they like had crushes on each other and it just like the timing never worked. Yeah, there was a rumor.
Right. I heard that they dated early on.
But there was rumor like yesterday, the day before that like. They're together now.
Together now.
I love it. I love it. All right. Here we go. We're going to close. We'll land this plane. So overall, I think Justin, unfortunately for Justin, this won't have aired before they shot Paradise. I wish for Justin's sake that all the gals at Paradise, maybe he gets, like, in a perfect world, he could go to Paradise next year so all the ladies would know just how spectacular Justin is. But they won't have seen this before they actually went and shot it in Sayulita. So the aunt is there, you know. So then he's freaking out. He goes to his ex-girlfriend, Neil Lane. You know, she shows up. And basically, he's fully in a panic attack. Like.
Yeah,
like,
with Tayshia. Yeah.
I mean, these producers are earning their money of like, well, you're not getting a plane ticket home, and like, you better pick a ring, bro. Like, do you think Tayshia's saying to him, if you're not going to propose, she's expecting a proposal, and if you're not doing it, you have to let her go? Do you think that was enough to get him? What was his thought process to go from frozen in fear, looking at like a pear-shaped diamond, to actually pulling the trigger? I'm not Doug Benson.
I think he just saw Aunt Lindsay going around his head. We don't care. We exactly. don't need you. We don't care. We don't need you.
I think Aunt Lindsay really did do. I agree with you that she did do a number. Doug, what do you think got him on the other side of that?
I think he just the seriousness of pretending to, you know, not pretending, but like, you know, this ramped up love that he has. I mean, that's really, you're really going to get checked when the person who shows up to help you pick out a ring is the woman that you were previously in love with. And,
right.
you know, hoping to get married with, you know, so, yeah, it's just an interesting choice. Like, why did, you know, the producers knew what they were doing. They could have had the other lady. They could have had Bristow do it. Yeah. Yeah, but they said in Tayshia because it's just let's make this as weird as possible. They probably had Claire on the phone and she was too busy with Taco Dale making a salad.
By the way, we had Jim Jeffries was on, who loves The Bachelorette, and he was saying that he got like a, not a baby Bjorn, but like a swaddle, and it was on their registry because they're having a baby, and the model, the male model holding the baby swaddle, that the one that they're registered for is Dale.
Dale.
What?
How crazy is that?
No way.
Yeah.
Model.
He's a model.
That's crazy.
How did you feel when they went to Felicia the energy healer and they had to light Zozobra on fire
Zozobra,
all their fears and insecurities, and he said he had a fear of being stagnant in life, and she had to let go of her fear of abandonment, fear of not being pretty enough, fear of not being good enough for Blake, fear of losing him, fear of heartbreak. How did you feel watching Zozobra? Jerry Traynor, I know you have some feelings.
It's just is so weird and out of the blue. And like, what are we doing? And this is, we're just filling time and just wrap it up already.
I feel like they were trying to get rid of Aunt Lindsay. I think they were trying to exorcise Aunt Lindsay.
Aunt Lindsay was inside Zozobra and they burned her alive?
Somebody was.
It was like Midsommar. Oh my God.
I know.
All of a sudden, Bachelorette Wicker Man edition.
Yeah, it was the weirdest, like,
It's full of bees.
But it was actually moving.
Nicolas Cage and Aunt Lindsay are inside.
That's Zozobra. Zozobra had resting, I'm about to be set on fire face.
Zozobra was animated in a way that I actually felt like they spent some money on that puppeteering situation. Like, Zozobra was moving.
I think it's a real tradition. I think that thing's a real thing that they burn every year.
Katie's looking forward to Katie Levine with our facts. Talk to us.
Yeah, it's like they do it every year. It's in Santa Fe, I think. And I saw someone tweet that they're from New Mexico, and they said, oftentimes it'll like make a moaning noise and it's very upsetting. Yeah.
Oh. Like a lobster going into the pot.
Really upsetting.
So there are electronics in there that they're burning.
Yeah. I mean, like it blew up, like there's like fireworks or something. Again, terrible fire danger. I said it on the other show, but stop doing this in dry climates. What the fuck are you doing? Just don't do that.
I did kind of there's a side of me that's a little bit of a maniac. And I was very, there's like them, but my crazy side, my late night Arden side was like, get me to Santa Fe. I need to burn shit in Zozobra. Like, I like that appealed to me of being like,
let's go.
See, if you get Amazon.
Got a field trip next year, we'll all go burn Zozobra together.
Hey, Katie, look Amazon at Zozobra. Look, find out when they burn Zozobra. I would go. I literally, we could go to Meow Wolf, that art installation. We could go to Meow Wolf and to Zozobra.
Do you need a Zozobra license? How hard is it to get a Zozobra?
Yeah.
You need a handler. You need.
Is there a 2-week waiting list to burn a Zozobra?
You have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Did you ever see Matt Damon in We Bought a Zozobra?
That's when Ben Affleck was doing badly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, this year it's Friday, September 3rd, 2021. So it'll probably be next September,
too. Oh, that's any day now. Oh, my God.
Again, why are they doing this in the height of, like, you fire know, the dry season.
Fire danger.
But yeah,
today it's nice, you know, warm weather. Christmas. It's an outdoor thing.
I would love, I mean, if it's so hot, I wish they were doing it like in the winter, like a Thanksgiving, like if we could all meet at Meow Wolf nice. And then go bird shit. Yeah.
You guys, I have to tell you, this is a, it has like contact info. There's a whole website. It's called burnsthezobra.com.
I and want the to website. Is, I want it. It really appealed to me. I've got stuff I got to let go of.
But yeah, I don't know if it's like a big event in Santa Fe every year. I don't know if you can actually buy one. I mean, clearly the Bachelorette did.
Maybe they're doing off-season Zozobra for us.
I would love that. Do you think we could get like a special live podcast?
A winter Zozobra. He could wear darker clothes.
Yeah, I would love that.
After Labor Day.
You guys have so much merch. Oh, my God.
Look, is it cute? Do I have this?
No.
That guy, Zozobra, had a giant, giant red cummerbund on. It was insane.
I want you to wear a cummerbund, Captain.
There's no B in cummerbund.
I want Doug's.
Except for the bund.
wait, Zach, what is it? It's a cummer.
Cummerbund.
It is not a cummerbund. It is not.
Yes, it is.
Cummerbund.
No,
yes, it
cummerbund.
Is.
Cummerbund? No.
Yeah, you heard it from the captain. Cummerbund. Yes.
Cummerbund.
Captain Cummerbund. There's the name of our episode.
I am Captain Cummerbund.
Captain Cummerbund.
And that's right. Basically.
And I am here to burn something.
I think Captain Cummerbund would have done well on the sex positive season of Katie's season. Captain Cummerbund. Cummerbunds. Captain Cummerbunds. Rob Benedict, do you want to go to... I'm not even exaggerating when I was like, no, I feel give crazy me, and excited. Were you excited by Zozobra?
Yeah, give me Zozobra any day
I'm
of the
going
week.
This year. I'm going in a couple of weeks.
If I was
going
to be in Hawaii, like you know, expelling bad vibes from my year, I would be right there with you burning shit at Zozobra.
No, I want a good Zozobra party in the winter. I mean, I think in the winter would be nice.
Can we like request said. Another Zozobra? It's the only
I just looked it up
here.
At Amazon.
We just got to get in with the Zozobra people, and I'm sure they're very nice.
It sounds like it's once a year, guys. I don't
Let's
know.
Let's book our rooms for 2022 Zozobra.
I love Santa Fe. I've been there. It's amazing. Meow Wolf is great. It's right? A real cute town. Great food.
Let's do it.
I'm totally
Oh, my God. I look cute in turquoise. I want Jerry to wear a lot of bolo ties.
Done. If it doesn't moan when it's burning to death, then I want my money back.
I'll give you your money back.
Yes.
All right. So here we are. So they go to Zozobra. They're cummerbunds. And cummerbunds. No. Yeah. And then. no. And then so she's like, if they're not getting engaged, then you got to let her go. And then Blake is like, she's all in. At this point, she's like, Blake's a love I've never had before. He's truly my soulmate. I'm 10 million percent going to say yes if he proposes. So then at first, she's in her fucking mermaid gown. He appears to be in like a depressed person sweatsuit. Jerry?
I just have a question about the gown.
Yeah.
That flesh-colored boob apron is awful. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Awful.
And under this... under the armpit.
The only time to me that she got her outfit right was I thought she looked perfectly cute at the after the final rose. The rest felt like it was a may I speak to the sassy bank man. There was a lot of blazer dresses.
Wait, no. The after the final rose where she wore the white dress that was constantly reflecting diamante lights onto what then appeared to be a double chin. The worst.
Oh, I didn't see that. I thought she in person probably looked cute with her ponytail. I thought
she
was cute
in person, but the lights start bouncing.
I know. I wore a dress once that had a bib of sequins, and it looked like I had a chartreuse beard.
They're terrible.
She had some decent gowns along the way that she looked good in that must have been provided by the show.
She had a cute, I remember she had a cute leather dress that she looked very exciting in. There was a few, I have to say, I liked Katie. I thought she was a cute gal. I thought she was a nice person. I know that Jerry's not a fan. I thought she was sweet. I liked her.
I just remember where she came from, right? She was the tattletale. Like, and then she comes off as like, I'm super sex positive. But are you, or are you kind of repressed? I don't know. And it just, she's... It feels like she's putting on a thing.
I'm sure the ABC definitely was so excited that a woman had a vibrator that they were going to like be like, Gen Z loves sex positivity. Let's get some of the kids.
But I feel like we're all picking up on this who is she type of thing. We all have this, like, she's a bank manager. She wouldn't be calculated. But it's like, you got to remember, this is intoxicating. This is a lot of attention and a lot of possible money. And it's like, yeah, maybe she's not trying to like sell magazine covers. But at a certain point, even a bank manager will turn. You know what I mean? We'll get sort of corrupted and sucked in.
Yeah, she's like a, you know, she's playing the influencer game. She doesn't seem to be just tweeting like, you know, or Instagramming just because the show asked her to. I think she, you know, it feels like she's enjoying the attention. It really is a whole Cinderella thing with her, I think.
I haven't looked at her feed.
Is she tweeting? Like, is she endorsing Slim Tea and cat pajamas and whatever? Like, what
it's
is she?
Flesh colored boob aprons. That's her thing.
flesh colored boob cummerbunds. Yes.
I think she'll be doing a lot of that kind of stuff because a lot of the, like, some of the rejects from Matt James' season are huge influencers now, and they're like, mm-hmm. they all jet around and visit each other, and they're all the girls love each other and hang out. Like, Kit Keenan's like their leader. It's crazy.
Who's the leader? Like, Kit's the leader.
Yeah. Because she's, you know, her mother's a famous fashion designer. So, like, she's doing influencing videos every day. Yeah.
Really?
Katie Levine. They all hang out
together. They're all friends. It's really, it's wild.
Really?
Katie Levine, you're leaning forward.
I'm looking at her Instagram. And there are, like, there was an ad for, like, a makeup thing. Or she will tag a ton of, you know, makeup and clothing companies.
So she is an influencer. She's now an influencer.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. You'd be dumb not to do it.
It's mainly just photos of her and then just like a ton of places tagged in them, like companies tagged in them. Oh. A lot of photos from the show. There's a photo of her kissing Blake and it says, "Happy fucking birthday, honey bear." From today.
I mean, that's love. 2 days that's ago. Love.
There's so much swearing around the love word.
I know. And she was like, "I fucking love you." Oh, look
I
at
just
that.
Just fucking love you.
She posted a lingerie photo.
Okay.
Oh, shit. She looked good,
she
though.
Great.
She's, God.
Dude, I would post that every day if that's what I looked like.
If I looked like that, I would.
But yeah,
too.
I mean, it was a lot of photos from the show, but there's definitely like some ads. There's no like, "Hey, use my FabFitFun whatever box code" or anything like that yet.
Rob Benedict, how do you feel, my friend?
I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about everything.
You don't appear to.
I feel all right. I'm ready for the next one. You know what I mean? I feel like this was
Paradise.
I'm ready for Paradise.
You guys, I love it.
Doug,
as a captain, I kind of have to like anything that's, you know, nautical.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
The use of all the living creatures on the island, like they're always cutting away the crabs.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, right? Katie Levine.
I just want to say, she did something really cool on her Instagram. It looks like she and Blake went to California Wildlife Center, which is a wildlife rehab center in Calabasas. I have brought animals there. And they, like, posted a bunch of stories from there. And that's really cool. It's like a nonprofit. Oh. I brought a squirrel there. Yeah, I brought a squirrel there that had fallen from a tree and was hurt. And they helped the squirrel. And I brought other animals there. And they're really great.
He's an animal guy.
So they probably went there. But I just love that she posted, like, tagging them. That's cool. I like that.
Good.
Nice. Okay, so wait a minute. I want to talk for 1 second to Doug. So Jerry's never watched Paradise. You'd never watched it before recently. You went on a bender. For anybody out there, any of our listeners who are like, "I don't do Paradise," please explain why it's the most important television on TV.
Because they let these characters that you know, for me, it's like kind of like a celebrity poker tournament or anytime celebrity anything happens. They get all these characters that you know from previous seasons. You know their strong suits. You know the ones that are going to be villains. You know the ones you're concerned about overall. And then they just, throw them on this island. But the thing is they keep adding people constantly. And if you do not pair up, you're out. You either have to be so solid with somebody as a friend that they'll save you, or you have to be in a couple. So it is just the most vicious people saying they're in love. And then 2 seconds later, a contestant walks in from a previous season that that's the one they were hoping would show up, and then they just turn on them. And it's just, it's so vicious, but also it has way more comedy in it. Like the opening credits, they make each of them look like an absolute asshole doing some stupid thing on the beach.
Yeah. They don't have to protect anyone. They're not protecting the lead. They're not protecting the lead.
Also, we've found out, this is going to change the game now, though. Usually, contestants had been sleeping with each other at Stagecoach before they showed up on the island.
Yeah.
Now no one's been able to go to a festival. Okay, so they're really going to bang it out.
But to Doug's point about the opening credits, we talked to somebody who was the editor, and they were saying like that they never have to – on Paradise – during The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, no matter who your lead is, even if the producers end up fucking hating them, they still have to edit them like Cinderella or Prince Charming. They have to protect their lead. As to Doug's point, they're fools in the opening credits. No one is protected.
And on Bachelor in Paradise.
And that's what's fun about it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Totally.
It's great. Yeah. It's great.
Well, there's a guy in the season I'm watching now I'm obsessed with. His thing in the opening credits is he goes like this, and then he goes like this, and then he winks. There's like, he does nothing. And I'm obsessed with it week after week. You know, each episode, I'm just obsessed with like, why did he do that? Why did they say that was good? Are they trying to make fun of him?
Who is it?
I forget his name, but I think he even gets eliminated in the episode I'm watching right now. But
sometimes it changes, and then when a new person comes on, then they get one. It's super fun. It's like The Bachelor gets out of the way.
And here's the other thing. It's also like there's more real romances. Like people actually fall in love. There's more successful like couplings that happen. But let's say, Jerry, let's say that like you're obsessed with Paget. You've been flirting with Paget. She was not on like you want Paget. And you know
Paget. Let's just say that.
Okay, and Paget.
Let's try and imagine that.
And Paget's not, you know that she's going to be on this season, but you show up and it's only me and Katie. So you've got to like convince me that you're
you got to pair up.
You got to convince me that we're having a coupling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, lo and behold, then you might actually start to like me or not. But then let's say, so then a couple weeks go by, but you're kind of waiting. And then
Paget shows up. And I Greg your ass.
And you Greg my ass. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then you're gone. You Greg me. And then so I have to scramble. And I'm like, oh, hey, Doug. Listen, I love your mutton chops. Yeah, Jerry, that was just like a thing. But the whole time,
I just been sitting over here chilling, having drinks with Jorge, waiting for somebody to need somebody to save them.
Yes.
Like it is all strategy, but also love. And
it's great. It's weird couples happen.
I'm so psyched.
Unusual couplings. And it's also because we've really ruined you as a person, Jerry.
Yes.
You've now watched enough seasons. Like you're such a great, you guys truly have been both such spectacular rookies that both of you have now watched enough seasons that you know all these farm teams. You know all the farm teams if you're like, oh shit, there's Victoria. Like she looks a little different, you know, like that. Like,
do they pick only from sort of the most recent seasons?
No.
Sometimes they do some old school, like, who?
I won't know those people.
Sometimes they'll pick people that were eliminated night one, and you're like,
oh shit.
Who is that? Like, And then
do they remind you? Do they refresh you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not really.
And then you'll hear people be like, who is that? Like, and sometimes like the women are super fucking hot and then it's threatening. It's like, she got cut first night on Matt James's season. Like, and then they didn't even know to be nervous about so-and-so because they've never heard of them. Like, and then they come in and they're like a smoke show.
Yeah, they come in really with some real preconceived notions. And they also bring back people from seasons where, like, if two guys were contentious in a season, they're going to be on that island.
There's going to be those two guys that were just on that were like, bro, I told you never to mention that we bury bodies in San Diego. Yeah, yeah. Like, whatever those two guys.
How did you pronounce San Diego?
San Diego.
San Diego.
That's
San Diego.
Right. That's how you do it.
OG way.
That's how you say it, right?
Well, yeah. I think he added some syllables, but
Diego.
Did you see in the preview someone says get my name out of your mouth? Yeah, they do it.
Oh. It's happening.
Sweaty Thomas is there. Sweaty Thomas is like extra sweaty because he's on a sweaty beach.
I think that guy, I think Aaron is there. Like,
yeah, Captain Metaphor.
Yeah, Aaron.
Up against
is
Thomas.
There. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Carl is there.
Carl, the motivational speaker, the self-help guru. We've got Victoria's there. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And like, you never know the order that they get released, like
into the population.
And a lot of them are like, I'm here, bitches.
The queen is here, bitches.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, bow down, bitches, like as people, but men and women. And it's, they come in like this sex, like a shell bikini, like that, like a high heel, like a fucking thong. And like, there's a lot of bars covering like assholes. And like, there's a, particularly for the women, there's a lot of bars covering like assholes and like nip slips and like it's great. And people get
hammered.
They get hammered and they like get at it in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And they have to ask permission to go to the boom boom room if they want to get at it, if they want to bone down. But you can go to the boom boom room night one if you want, but you got to have consent. You both have to have consent to go to the boom room.
That's got to be a more recent development. This is the first time hearing
about
that.
That's post-consent. Oh, yeah. Post-consent is the boom boom room.
They have to go to the producers
They found a classy way to say consent.
You guys, can we – is there – what a journey. I just adore all of you. How excited are we for Paradise, really?
Very excited.
Truly.
It's going to be so good. I mean, honestly
– I have to say, overall, I thought it was a more entertaining season than I thought it. I found this season that we just watched to be more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Me too.
I am with Jerry. I'm ready. Look, I'll go to Minnesota. Prince lived there. Great. Let's go to Paisley Park. Whatever. Like, get me out of a hotel.
Yeah.
Overall, though, I just adore all of you, and thank you for going on this love journey.
Thanks, Jerry, for bringing us.
Oh my God, Robbie B. What would you like to promote, my friend? Are you sad we're not going to the Paradise party? But we would have gotten the Delta variant for sure.
I know we would have. At least this is safer.
I know.
I'd rather enjoy it from the comfort of my living room on the TV.
I'd rather go in person and just dive right in, but I won't be here and I don't want COVID.
Me neither. I'm not doing much. I'm on the new season of Lucifer.
That's great.
Which comes out in September. So
that's
where and what is that streaming or is that
that's on Netflix?
Netflix.
Nice.
Gary Trainer, what would you like to promote? Sentinel.
I'm on iCarly, and that's on Paramount Plus. And if this is when is this coming out on Thursday?
Yeah.
So there will be there's a new episode today on Paramount Plus.
Hey. Okay, Dougie BB, what would you like to promote, my friend?
Well, you know, I'm tiptoeing back out on the road doing live tapings of Doug Loves Movies and stand-up comedy. But, you know, I'm taking it as, you know, doing everything as safely as I can. Like at the comedy club that I just played, they were very nice. They took out the whole front row for me. So I was, you know, they were 6 feet from me. I was 6 feet from them. You know, it works out for everybody.
I want to say that if you've never gone to a live Doug Loves Movies, it is so fun. Doug has such fun fans. It's truly an experience. I highly recommend it. Where can people find out your dates and stuff?
Just go to DougLovesMovies.com and all of my dates are there. And you can also, you know, listen to episodes of the show and, you know, buy a shirt. But thank you for, you know, having me again for another season, Arden. It's you know, I'm kind of hooked into this show now. So, like, if you were like, Doug, we're good. We don't need you anymore. I probably still keep watching it, you know.
No, but such a
especially Paradise. Paradise is my jam. Like,
it's the best.
I'll suffer through the other two things, but Paradise is what it's all about.
That's why we all literally once Jerry, we only you'll understand what all of your work is. You won't even it's like, oh, that's why I've been doing this. It's just to get to know the farm team. You're just to know the players. Mm-hmm. It's like just like because you immediately you know exactly who like Victoria is. You don't need a back. Like,
and when is this starting? When is
Monday,
this on?
Next Monday. Monday.
Immediately.
It's the best. I mean, you're going to be so
I thought we had a little break.
No.
Right into it.
It's no
hammer. It's the hammer, like underground mall, like a Canada hammer. Paget BB. What do you have, my queen?
guys, please, if you can, go to Disney Plus and check out Behind the Attraction. Yay. Also, a movie I shot 6 years ago is being re-released as a director's cut. He cut 15 minutes out of it. It's actually better. It's called Welcome to Happiness, but they have not told us where it's streaming. So good luck.
You guys, two things. One, hey, buy yourself a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. You can get yourself a mug. We've got OG Smoke Show. We've got Rookie of the Year with our sweet Jerry and Doug are both on it. And Debbie Ryan and Beverly D'Angelo are on it. We've got, well, except this Rose tea. They're so cute. So they're on our website, rosepodcast.vodka. Also, that's right, .vodka. Also, Patreon, Anna, who couldn't be here today, Dr. B and I, we're finishing up Bachelorette Australia, and we're going to do F-Boy Island. And if you financially have a hard time watching F-Boy Island, email us at rosepodcast@gmail.com and we'll help you out. Katie Levine, what would you like to say, my queen?
I am KT_money on Twitter and Instagram. And please adopt a dog or cat from your local shelter. Right now, the LA shelters have a lot of really cute dogs. So go there and adopt one.
All of this is spectacular. I just want to say I'm filming a movie in Seattle for the next few weeks. So I just want to let everyone know in advance, the Paradise episode will not be up until next Thursday because I'm filming Monday and Tuesday. So just so you know.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you. You can't rob me because somebody's staying here with my cats.
Can you bring me back some coffee from Pike Place?
I will, from the original Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. Starbucks.
All right, you guys, my name is Arda Marine. Until next Thursday, stay safe, wear a mask, have a good time. Okay, bye.
Oh, yeah. Got all up in here in this place. It's going to feel so good. Wakes up this rose.
Welcome to the boom boom when you accept
this rose. Ooh, that's a good one. We should do welcome boom boom room for our next part.
Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Will you accept this rose into your world?
Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.